Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 88.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for downloading this latest episode of Bear Podcast. This is the Nard.
And this is Excalibur, and I adopted a baby African boy.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Where is he now?
Take that, Madonna!
Yeah, welcome everyone to the show. Welcome to Bear Podcast, yes. And we're here in Texas. I'm in Houston.
I'm in Dallas.
Yep, and we just had the packed weekend. I guess you had a packed weekend. I had a very busy weekend myself.
Weekend update.
All right. So tell me what happened to you last Saturday. Last weekend, whatever.
Last weekend, well, I can tell you what I did not do, and that was I did not go see The Grudge 2. I chickened out.
Why not?
Well, for those who don't know, when I went to go see the original Grudge in the theater, I had a panic attack while watching the movie. And I think that was because I was sitting too close to the screen. So, but I didn't want to run the risk, especially after a lot of my friends who did see The Grudge 2 told me that it's actually scarier than the first one. So I didn't want to take any chances of having another panic attack. God, I sound like a pussy saying this. But I didn't want to take the chance of having another panic attack and wasting all that money going to see a movie. So I'm just going to wait till it comes out on DVD so that way I can control the pause and
I still have
like
to watch that. I want to watch that.
I want to see it too. It's just that I'm scared.
I did see something of a not much of a horror, but it's horror last Saturday. Rocky Horror Picture Show in the theater.
Was this your first time attending it in the theater?
It's my first time actually.
He's not a virgin anymore.
It was funny because, you know, they were selling these bags of Rocky Horror goodies, you know, like it's a Rocky Horror kit for $2, and they were it's got toilet paper, rubber gloves, party hats.
Did it have rice?
No, they don't want to do that anymore. I think theaters don't want to have rice anymore because it's harder to clean.
Well, that and it brings rats. So
yeah, so it was fun. I mean, it's my first time, and you know, I got
did you get humiliated?
No, not at all. Just
oh, well, that's no fun.
But they, oh yeah, because they do that. Here's a Rocky Horror Picture Show virgins. Do they do that?
Well, I haven't had a chance to go see it in Fort Worth yet, so I don't know what that company does. But I know that back in the Bay Area, when I went to go watch Barely Legal do the Rocky Horror Picture Show, they would bring all of the Rocky Horror Picture Show virgins up on the stage, and they would play a game called Fake an Orgasm.
They didn't do that here. I mean,
oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, and there was this guy making snarky comments, and at the back with the whoever's got the lights, and you know, it's just pretty noisy. Everybody shouting, like, you know,
oh, of course, yeah,
Janet, slut, Brad, asshole.
Oh yeah.
You know? I mean, it's my first time. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I'd like to do it again, probably in a different city.
I hate to say it, but I've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show in the theater over 200 times.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know how much money I've sunk into that movie over the years, but the thing is watching it in the theater atmosphere, I've been so pre-programmed to shout shit at the movie that I can't watch the movie normally anymore. I will sit there and I will say stuff even at the television screen if I'm watching it on television. It's like Pavlov's dog, you know, it's just so pre-programmed in your head. You can't help it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever experienced it, so maybe I'll go 199 more times, I guess. Well, I did see it many times in DVD or in video, so watching it in the theater with the audience participation is a lot different. So
Yeah, you've not truly experienced Rocky until you've experienced it with an audience.
Yeah. Well, other than that, during the weekend, we had the get-together last Sunday. Just visited with a couple of friends, played Scene It, ate some food. Mm-hmm. And I must have eaten something very bad that now I have a stomach flu.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It's really bad. I mean, let's just say type 7 in the Bristol scale. Yeah.
Ew.
Okay, TMI. Sorry. But, yeah, that's...
Those who don't know, that means he has some very loose poopies.
Shh! I'm talking in code already here. So.
He has trotting horses coming out of his ass.
Oh, goodness. But I'm now feeling better, I think. So.
I hope so.
Yeah. So that's pretty much my movie and the weekend experience. Anything else on your side?
Well, we went on a DVD shopping spree this weekend.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah, you mentioned, yeah.
Circuit City and Walmart, especially Walmart, they have this whole entire bin of Paramount horror films that are only $4.88, and then also... Circuit City had some select titles that were only $4.99, and so we decided to take advantage of that, and we stocked up on some pretty good films, actually. The three movies that we were after originally at Circuit City, they were sold out of one of them, but we were able to get the other two, and the film that they were sold out of was Best in Show. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted that one. I love all the Christopher Guest movies. I can't wait for your consideration to come out next month. But we were able to get two of his other films, which were Waiting for Guffman, which I absolutely love, and we were also able to get A Mighty Wind. So we got those. Chris got The Cell with Jennifer Lopez and Vincent D'Onofrio.
It's a very weird a movie. Yeah.
It's a very visual movie. That's what I love about it. I think it's probably one of the few Jennifer Lopez movies that I can actually sit through with no problem. Then when we went to... Walmart, we picked up a couple of other films. We picked up, April Fool's Day, which is a horror film that came out in the 80s, and as far as I'm concerned, was a pretty underappreciated and underestimated horror film. It came out during that whole slasher period, and it came out during that whole period where Hollywood was really cracking down on the slasher films because they were, you know, accusing them of being too violent and also accusing them of being the cause for a lot of violence in the community and stuff like that. So it's not particularly a gory film, but it's a very cleverly done film with a lot of, you know, brilliant acting and whatnot.
You know, I don't mind buying DVDs in the bargain aisle or bargain because, you know, it's cheap and some of them are real good. Mm-hmm. And this friend of mine was telling me about going to Fry's Electronics or going to a Best Buy to buy DVDs, and it has to you have to get it when as soon as it gets out of the gets on DVD and pay the $20 or $17 however how much it is, and sometimes it's really worth it. Just wait for it probably when it goes in the bargain aisle.
Well, I mean, look at March of the Penguins, for example. I've yet to buy that film on DVD. When it came out, it was like $19, and now they're selling it for $9. You know, mm-hmm. So yeah, there's some films out there that I haven't gotten on DVD yet that I do want. So
yeah, mm-hmm.
The other title that we got at Walmart, I actually forced Chris to watch this movie, and he still hasn't forgiven me for it. It was the camp classic Barbarella with Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda.
And I love Barbarella because it's so bad. It's one of those movies that are so bad that it's good. And after the movie was over, Chris looked at me and says, "You are never to show me that film ever again for the rest of my life."
I have yet to watch that. Let me check it out. Probably I'll put it in my Netflix queue or something.
Barbarella has to be, it's one of those movies that have to be seen to believe. Some people, you will either love it or you'll either hate it. Just when you watch it, know not to take the movie seriously because it's not a serious movie. So,
yeah. Well, I guess it's a very busy weekend for both of us, yeah.
Well, that and plus work, you know, yeah, it's been pretty busy. So yeah.
Yesterday I had to take the day off yesterday, so. Anyway, Mike was here until this morning. We're recording this on a Tuesday. We're part of it on a Tuesday. Yeah, and yeah, he was with me for 4 days. Woohoo, that's great.
Yay!
Next time I'll see him, we'll be in New Orleans next week. We'll be in for the Voodoo Fest. So probably I'll record from there. Maybe, mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay, so what do we have in this show?
We're going to talk about sex.
Yeah, something.
We're going to talk about Remy.
Video. No.
wrong podcast.
Wrong show, okay. That, and of course, a very special guest. He's a war veteran. Yes. Well, not yet. He's not yet a veteran. He's still a soldier, I think.
Well, he's still enlisted, but once he gets out, he will be known as a war vet. So.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that and a few shout-outs. So, all right. Okay, I know many of you guys are using YouTube for your entertainment, and many of you guys are addicted to porn, right? How about an X-rated YouTube?
I don't know what it is that you're talking about.
You're right. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. I'm innocent.
You're the one that told me about PornoTube.
Porno what?
PornoTube.
Yes, confession. I am addicted to that website. I just stumbled upon it myself, and it's a porno version of YouTube. And at one point, I managed to find myself watching like a half hour worth of stuff on this one night, and it's quite an interesting site because it's done up exactly like YouTube, except it's with porn, and
yeah.
It's divided up in gay, straight, or if you want it all, you have it all. But the thing that kills me is sometimes when you're looking through the gay videos, some of the straight videos slip in as well.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, the one I checked out is xtube.com. So it's pretty much the same. And you know what's hot about it? Is that you can see a lot of homegrown videos. That's what I like about it because, you know, people just having cameras or webcams and whacking off in front of the camera. Yes, that and what's bad about it is that people are posting copyrighted videos, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen those.
They do that on PornoTube also, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Daddy Todd's videos, Gag Bears, and some of
really?
Yeah, Jack Radcliffe. Oh. Yeah, they have...
Well, I've seen some of Jack Radcliffe stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it on PornoTube.
Yeah, so if you guys try to sign up, you have to specify if you're... Like what Roy said, you have to specify if you're gay or straight. So if you click on that box saying that you're gay, you'll get gay videos. And if you click on straight, yeah, you get straight videos. Of course, you see the boobies and stuff. But what was funny...
Splitfish!
What was funny was when I was experimenting on it, I clicked on straight. I put my profile to straight. And of course, I'd see the boobies and stuff of girls and straight sex. But then there are these stray ones, that these straight bears... who, you know, are whacking off for their online girlfriends.
Sure, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I know. It was funny because there's this bearish guy who has his camera on him and saying he's whacking off. It's for a girl named Tina, and he's saying, "Oh yes, Tina. Yeah, this is for you, Tina."
But
he was a bear whacking off, pretty well endowed. I kind of find it funny, so
look at what the internet has brought us, ladies and gentlemen. Science, technology, porn.
I just found out about it last weekend, and, you know, four 4 hours later.
Now, the big question is will Google buy PornoTube?
Oh, God, I don't know if you would.
Or maybe Yahoo will try to compete with Google and buy them out. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Ex-Yahoo or...
Ex-Yahoo.
Porno Yahoo.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
All right, everyone. I have a special guest here, and he's a soldier bear. Yes, a soldier bear. His name is Alex. Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm doing good here. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, we're doing a three-way with you with Roy. And
hello. Welcome home, Alex.
Welcome home. So,
trust me, it's good to be back.
Oh, yeah. Where are you now, by the way?
I'm sitting in my barracks room in Virginia, Fort Belvoir. It's in the southern end of Alexandria, Virginia.
I see. Wow. Yeah. Any plans of moving after that? You're just staying there for the meantime, huh?
I'm staying here for another 7 months, and then I'll be done with the army.
Yay! Yay! You'll be a free spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be a free man.
Yeah.
From there, I'm either going to go to school and work, probably.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
So let's talk about your tour of duty. How long were you there in Iraq?
Too long.
12 months. I left in October of 2005, and I got back last week.
Oh, just a year then, practically. Wow. What exactly did you do there? Weren't you a medic or part of a medical team?
Yeah, I was part of the same hospital that was on Baghdad ER. It's just a different... We're the people that replaced everybody. And I worked in surgery as a surgical assistant and tech.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually pull out bullets or something? Or what did you actually do?
We did... Oh, man. I did everything from helping doctors scrub down people that were burned to... cases where people were cut open, like pretty much anything. And like in the U.S., the only job I have is to pass instruments or whatever in surgery. But over there, because there's usually only one doctor, one assistant, mm-hmm. we basically do the surgery with the doctor.
Wow. You yourself are a doctor yourself?
Not yet, but maybe in the future. I'm really thinking about it. So. Maybe.
I remember you mentioning that you were thinking about going to medical school. Of course, I mean, I am, along with probably a lot of other friends, probably reiterate in saying this. I highly support that decision. So,
yeah
the good thing about working in surgery where there was a lot of people afterward, they're like, hey, surgery is not that hard. So a lot of people actually think about medical school that I work with.
Mm-hmm. So how about fun over there? Of course, you're not only always working there. I mean, you got to do some fun, right? What sort of fun did you guys do? Like baseball? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you guys
do. Oh, yeah, baseball in 130-degree temperature, that'll work.
Well, for a while, there wasn't anything to really do. So the only thing we would do was go to the gym for like 2 or 3 hours a day mm-hmm. and then go to sleep and go back to work. But after, when it started getting warm again, because we got there in kind of the wintertime, there's an embassy around here that used to be Saddam's personal palace that had a pool behind there. And then there was another complex, which probably was about 2 miles away, that I guess was a palace he built for his nephew because he broke his leg or something. So he built them a couple pools. So basically it was either the gym, the internet, or those pools.
You actually swam where Saddam swam.
Well, I can't swim, but I played in the water with the damn swim.
So you basically frolicked in the same waters that Saddam and his nephews did.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much.
Not very many people could say that
yeah,
in this
that's
world.
True. I don't even know if that's an honor. I don't think so.
No, what would be an honor is if while he was frolicking in that pool, he pissed in the water.
Yeah.
I'm Turned sure lots yellow. Of people do that.
Gosh. So that's it? Just swim around there? You have your video games too, right?
I didn't then, but I had a laptop full of emulators.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure you probably had a laptop filled with porn also.
I don't know. I had an external hard drive filled with porn.
Ah,
okay. You didn't get caught or anything, right? It's no problem with that.
No, they're like, they don't really check anything, so my 55 gigs went untouched.
Ah, okay. Oh. Lots of bear porn, I bet. Mm. Yeah. So how about food? Did you miss the Chinese buffet here in the U.S. or perhaps McDonald's quarter pounders that you missed? Or you have the same thing there. Yeah. What do you say?
There was a contract company that provided food. It wasn't the best, but it was free.
Free is good, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of just eat it for, everyone just eats for volume. Mm-hmm. But at least, the good part is at least they had Gatorade, sodas, and I guess Baskin-Robbins provided five different flavors of ice cream. So
oh, that's cool.
I always had ice cream.
Well, oh. I would think it being in the type of temperature that you're in and with all the equipment that you had to wear, Gatorade would actually have to be a necessity.
Yeah, well, we have bottled water because the water is pretty unsafe to drink, even the water that comes out of the tap.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, bottled water and Gatorade. Mm.
Yeah, everywhere you see huge boxes of bottled water just out everywhere.
Gosh. Did you ever go to the field, you know, carrying a gun, and or you were just in the medical station, or did you ever go out, you know, doing some reconnaissance, or did you ever do that? No.
No, pretty much. I just stayed in the international zone.
Ah, okay.
The rules were: anytime we stepped outside of the hospital, we had to carry full gear. Mm-hmm. So everywhere I went, I had my M16, 210 bullets, body armor, helmet. At the minimum.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Did you bring a portable laptop with you or something? No?
I did. I had my laptop with me the whole time.
Oh, okay. Wow. And, of course, your iPod to keep you busy. To keep
well,
you distracted.
Well, one of them broke, and I ended up buying another iPod, so.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I see that you've had a lot of experience, a lot of adventure. And how about being gay there? I mean, was there no problem? I can't actually ask you if anything happened there.
Well, I mean, I didn't mess around with anyone since there's no bears in Iraq for whatever reason.
Oh, I was about to ask that, if there's any bears there.
I'm probably sure they probably look all like Barat, so.
Well, I mean, they have contract, like Blackwater contractors and PSD and all them, which... Well, I guess they're fun to look at from time to time, but you can't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in our section of the hospital, my best friend who I ended up hanging out with was gay too, and his boyfriend's in the army as well, so we ended up hanging out and talking a lot.
Oh, that's cool.
And who else? There was one guy that was bi, and there was two girls that were bi-curious.
Mm-hmm.
Just a miss or like 25 people. And there was other gay people in the hospital too, but one of them was a huge slut. One of them was really weird.
Okay.
That's good to hear that normal people are in the armed forces.
That's good, yes.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many...
Pretty much was like, when you think twink, it pretty much was an Asian twink that was kind of running through all the guys or all the contractors.
Oh, really? Okay. Sounds like some person I know.
Yeah, pretty much.
So let me ask you, Alex, out of all the experiences that happened while you were there in Iraq, what was the scariest that you experienced?
It's more... I wouldn't say it was scary as a whole, because there was a couple bombs that went off pretty close, blew out some windows... One of the complexes right next to ours got hit with two rockets and it knocked out one of their drivers.
Mm.
Let's see what else. One of the bullets came through our cafeteria one day. So a lot of stuff happens, but after about the first month, everyone just kind of says, hey, if it's my turn to go, I'm going to go, and regardless of what happens, nothing's going to change that. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily scary. It's kind of perpetual in that. You know that if something happens, that's it, but you don't aggravate it, but you don't care too much if it does.
Mm.
Since it's more luck of the draw.
And how does it feel finally being home? Yeah, has that reality set in for you yet, or are you still kind of?
I'm still a little bit hazy. For me, a lot of people that I work with in Iraq already called back, since the people in the States are so much more different, and we were a lot more lax, and we weren't so caught up in the whole acting military and doing this and that. More people are like, hey, I'd rather go back to Iraq. Not necessarily Iraq, but just everyone would rather be around everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan to attend any bear run in the future?
I'm sure I'll eventually go to a bear run. And if I can drag my friend and his boyfriend out there, well, they're not into the bear scene, but wouldn't hurt, I guess.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah, I'll probably forward you some information if I find anything near the Virginia area.
I still owe this guy a home-cooked meal, so I made a promise to him, and I intend on keeping that promise. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because probably in May when I get out, more than likely I'm going to move back to Southern California, so I get the fun and pleasure of driving through the whole U.S. and taking 30 days to visit everybody.
Oh, that's cool. Might pass by Houston and Dallas.
Yep, because my actual leave date is June 4th, but the way the Army works, you can get out a month before and you have the whole month paid. So I'll just be paid to drive around.
Wow. Cool.
So after a year of duty in Iraq, and almost a year probably in the mainland, just finishing your mission, I guess, as a Marine, and after saving all those lives, probably there in Iraq, wow, we're really, really very proud of you. Wow.
Thanks. Yeah.
So, any plans on going back to Iraq after this?
It's a good joke, but no, probably not. No, I'm done. I need to go to school and get a degree and stop being a bum. So.
Yeah. So you're just going to relax. What you said earlier, you were playing a video game. What were you playing again?
I was playing Saints Row, which is kind of the clone, the new Grand Theft Auto clone for 360.
Ah, okay. It's the Xbox 360 version. Okay.
Yeah. We're just doing that and chatting on Bear 411 because I have no life yet.
Wow. Well, I guess that's, thank you very much for being in the show. I really appreciate it, Alex.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
It's great talking to you again, Alex.
Thanks, Roy.
Okay, here are some bear events for you guys. Chumley Bear Cruise on October 29th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Join us on our annual sailing and see why more than two-thirds of our amazing guys return year after year. Not just another run. Enjoy a full week together, giving you time to make friends from all over the world. So visit the website at bearcruises.com. EBMC 06 on November 1st in Brussels, Belgium. The EBMC is the yearly European convergence for big men, chubbies, bears, and all their admirers. In the course of the six-day-long event, it's the greatest opportunity of the year to meet bears and chubs from all the countries of Europe, the U.S., and everywhere in the world, and to make dozens of new friends coming from up to 35 different countries. Wow. Intriguing. Okay, check out the website at ebmc.biggerworld.com. How about in Detroit, Michigan? Michigan Bear Fest 2006 on November 2nd. Registration is now $75. We have limited seating at the dinner, 400. Wow, we have 400 people. And we anticipate there to be actually more than that attending. Impressive. So please make sure you pre-register by going to the website, michiganbearfest.com. All proceeds from this event will be donated to Wonderful Animals Giving Support, or WAGS for short. Okay, you'll see the links to all the events that I talked about in this podcast on the website, bearpodcast.com. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, we have a lot of people to greet today.
Got some shout-outs.
Yes. Jeff from Salt Lake City. Yes, I got to meet him last IBR in San Francisco. He's the president of the Utah Bear Alliance. And yeah, we're exchanging emails lately. So yeah, we'll talk more later, Jeff. And who else? Ron Serratia. Yeah, got a call from him, and probably we'll talk more later too. He has his own podcast called Bear Soup. And you guys can find it through bearradio.net or runserratia.com. And who else? Who do you have in mind?
Me, personally, I have a very special shout-out going out to Drew in San Francisco. He's known as Drew Bear SF on LiveJournal. For those who are on LiveJournal, you may have seen that art meme that was going around for a while where the first five people that responded would receive a piece of art about them. I participated in that with a couple of people, and I've received a work of art from him. And I also received a work of art from Richard. He's known as Boy Shaped Box.
Oh,
he
Richard.
Actually made a logo for me for the Fur Factor, actually, which is just like kooky little, like, looks like an octopus that's got this big heart above him that says Fur Factor. And I love it. It's absolutely kooky. And then my friend Keith out in Lodi, he also made one for me that was a little comic strip thing that he did that showed what if Mike and the Bots from Mystery Science Theater 3000 were making fun of Showgirls, which is very funny. But Drew Bear went out and made a Excalibur doll. And so now sitting on my DVD shelving here in the apartment is this nice little Excalibur doll. And he's got a little crown with a jewel on it, and he's holding ice cream. So I guess I'm the king of ice cream.
With a leather harness. It's got a leather harness on it, right?
No, no leather harness. He's actually naked.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Holding a stick of lit dynamite.
Okay.
So shout outs to everybody who did art for me on the art, man. Thank you so much for the stuff that you did. Speaking of Drew, I have another Drew that I need to give a shout out to, and that's Drew Domkus from the Don and Drew Show on the 19th. He's turning 35 years old, so I want to wish a special happy birthday out there to Drew.
Mm-hmm. And one more a common friend of ours, John. He's a Manticore 1977 in LiveJournal. Yeah, congratulations on the new job.
Congrats.
Yes.
And I got one more. I guess you could say it's a corporate shout-out. And those who listen to my podcast probably heard me raving about this on the last episode. And you've probably seen me raving about this on LiveJournal and are beginning to wonder if I'm becoming a spokesperson for this magazine. But I'm not. I just love the magazine to death. Those who are old enough to remember Cracked Magazine when they were kids, the magazine is back. But it's back in a way that's never been seen before. Cracked used to be the competitor of Mad Magazine. It was done in the same style, humor and whatnot. The magazine's been reinvented now to be kind of like The Daily Show, the magazine. And it's for adults only. And it's some of the funniest shit that I've ever read in my entire life. And they've got some pretty heavy-hitting writers. As a matter of fact, one of the editors of the magazine is Michael Ian Black from the I Love the 80s and 70s and all those VH1 specials. And one of the contributing writers is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater 3000. So they've got some pretty good writers in there. And to give you an idea of the type of humor that this magazine has, they actually quote real quotes from celebrities of them saying dumb shit that shouldn't even be said by a person with a brain. And the two best examples is, here's one from Brooke Shields, and the quote reads, "Smoking kills. If you're killed, you've lost a very important part of your life." No shit.
One. I've heard that before. Yeah.
And the other quote that's great to quote here is from Christina Aguilera, and the quote is, "I am an ocean because I'm really deep. If you search deep enough, you can find rare exotic treasures." leaving that one alone. But I recommend
diving.
Everybody. Yes. Thanks for that mental image.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, yeah, diving into her bearded clam. Anyway, for those who are interested, it's easy to find the magazine because the cover is Tom Cruise done up like Steve Carell from The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And it says Tom Cruise, the 44-year-old virgin, on the cover. So who knows how long it'll actually stay on the shelf before he tries to sue people. But it's absolutely hysterical. You won't be disappointed by this magazine at all. Check it out. So great job to Michael Ian Black and the rest of the gang over at Crack Magazine for making a great debut issue.
I better check them out. Do they have a website or something?
Yes. The website, let me quickly look that up here. The website for Cracked Magazine, which has material that you're not going to be able to find in the magazine at all, is cracked.com, and that's C-R-A-C-K-E-D.
Oh, okay. Pretty easy to remember, I guess.
Oh, yeah, pretty easy. But you'll find a lot of web-exclusive articles. They'll print stuff that was deemed too controversial to be printed in the issue. Like, they had this whole comic that was too controversial to print that crossed Deadwood on HBO with Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. And it was very extreme because we saw shots of, like, Winnie the Pooh shooting himself up with a mixture of honey and heroin, and Christopher Robin as a young boy prostitute and whatnot. So, of course, aww, they didn't want to get sued. So, but it was brilliant. So you'll find a lot of great gems on crack.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I guess that's it. We'll wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And you can email us at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com.
And you can email excalibear@gmail.com.
Yeah. And visit the website, www.bearpodcast.com.
And leave us a voicemail at 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, that's 206-222-2327. All right, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Many whoops, many hugs.
The faggot's out of here.